In a few weeks, a bill that would prohibit abortions after the 20th week of pregnancy will begin moving through the Senate and the Assembly. Governor Scott Walker has said he looks forward to signing it into law. Thanks to the two sponsors of that bill, Senate President Mary Lassick of New Berlin, a Republican who represents the 28th District, Representative Jesse Kramer of Keewaskum, a Republican who represents the 59th District, for joining us to discuss the bill. Welcome to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's very nice to be here.
Well, thank you. From your memo asking for co-sponsors, could you elaborate on the purpose of the bill, prevent unborn children from feeling pain? Can we talk about that as the starting point?
Sure.
Yes, it is the pain prevention bill. So medical science technology has now arrived that the baby feels pain at 20 weeks, 5 months, five and a half months, it feels pain. So we prohibit abortions, elective abortions, at the point that the child feels pain.
Okay. And this, are these recent studies, Senator?
Yes, it's current technology, medical anatomy, that's what the science tells us.
Any additional thoughts on that, Representative?
Yeah, the reason I wanted to do the bill personally, as a former emergency medical technician, emergency services dispatcher, and obviously as a new legislator also, I feel I have an interest to help people and to prevent pain and harmful situations and help people. And this bill is not about 20-week abortion ban. We're not banning abortions. We're not allowed to under Roe v. Wade. But what we're doing under this bill is we're ensuring that children who can feel that pain, that torturous, barbaric ripping, limb from limb, we will not be allowed to do intentional abortions anymore, to rip a child apart. Okay. So after the point that they can feel that pain.
The 20 week, can we talk about that a little bit? I looked up the annual study done by the Department of Health Services, and it notes in a footnote that 20-week period can sometimes be, their terms, imprecise to measure. So are you satisfied that there is a medically definable 20 weeks here since that state report talked about?
Yeah. So the doctors, this is something that's new in this bill. Right now the doctors have to actually report post-gestational period if they're going to do an abortion. Mm-hmm. Now we're adding post-fertilization, which is the point at which we're stopping these abortions from occurring. So that post-fertilization has to be determined by a doctor, and typically, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, they're using ultrasounds or technology that's out there that will actually be available to, and they will have to document that this is how they determine that.
It's probable post-fertilization age is how we arrive, the 20 weeks after probable post-fertilization. So it's the age of the child from conception to 20 weeks, and that's the number where it's established that pain is felt at that age.
Okay. To establish some context, I looked up the number of induced abortions from the state report, and it's intriguing to me. In 1980, we hit a high mark of 21,754 induced abortions, and then if you walk that back, we're down to 6,462 according to the State Department of Health Services. Are you encouraged that the number is a drop of 70% since the high water mark of 1980?
I think it's absolutely amazing that the number has been reduced that much. I think of the lives that have been saved and the people that we have here in Wisconsin in terms of reducing these numbers. And I think that now retired Barbara Lyons, we like to talk about those numbers with her. She did an amazing amount of work over the years. And I think a lot of the reduction can be attributed to her. But it's also information and technology that's available, Steve. I think back in the days of Roe v. Wade, if the information we have available to us today were available then, I tend to think that outcome would be a lot different and that we wouldn't have even the numbers that are here and the welcoming diminishing numbers. I tend to think that outcome would be a lot different if they knew then what we know now about children and birth and pain and life.
Your thoughts on why that number's dropped off?
I think public perception, as the senator mentioned, public perception is changing basically because of technology. I mean, you can see through ultrasounds now. This isn't just a little mass of tissue. This is a little human being inside of someone. So I think that's why these numbers have been going down over the years.
There have been some victories for those of you that want to limit the number of abortions. I mean, the ultrasound debate, Senator, you were involved in that,
yes.
Requiring that someone who did an abortion had to have medical approval at an area hospital, and some of these victories. So do you see this as a next step on the issue of abortions?
Well, I certainly see this as something that has come to our attention, that it's now a medical fact, a scientific fact, that the baby feels pain at this age. So clearly I would tend to think the public at large does not think it's acceptable to inflict pain on humans and to inflict pain on children at this stage of life when they can feel the pain. So I tend to think that this bill would be well received by the public.
Any PS on that, sir?
Yeah, as a state, I mean, we basically have a compelling interest right now under Roe v. Wade.
Yes.
To prevent abortions after that point of viability. But that, they didn't say that's the only compelling interest a state should have to protect an unborn child. And here we have, we treat our prisoners of war humanely. And our society does not want to torture prisoners of war. Why would we want to go in and torture a child who can feel this excruciating pain after that 20-week period right now? I mean, based on the scientific evidence that's out there, if this child can truly feel pain, it is basically it's a torture chamber, and we're killing them. And I just don't see how we can allow that as a society to happen. You look at West Virginia. West Virginia just passed this a couple months ago.
Okay.
Solid bipartisan support. They actually overrode a Republican governor's veto. And two-thirds of the House Democrats voted for it, and the majority of the Democrats in the Senate voted for it. So it is a bipartisan issue. This has nothing to do with banning abortions. It has to do with stopping them after a child can feel pain. So just the humanity of it.
The Roe versus Wade decision came down in the early 1970s. I was covering Iowa's Capitol then. Would you, both of you, though, personally like to see Roe versus Wade overturned at some point? Is that where you are personally?
I am not a fan of abortion. I do not think that killing children is something that a civilized society should do. So no, I do not support abortion.
No, same here.
Okay. When you sponsored this bill, are you pretty much saying you don't expect Roe v. Wade to be overturned at any time soon?
Well, I would certainly like to see it, you know, overturned. I would certainly like to see children protected and in a safe place. What happens as society moves through? A lot of it's, you know, on the generation now coming up, the birthing generation. You know, how are they going to handle this information? And because of the information available to us today, I think they handle it much differently.
Okay. Another report in the same Department of Health's statement I found very interesting. Weeks of gestation, the number of induced abortions in which the fetus was over 20 weeks, 89 abortions in 2013, only 1%. Now, your opponents would say, perhaps, I'm not going to put words in their mouths, but that this is an issue that it's not that big of a problem. And that's not, I'm not saying that, but your opponents. When they cite the stat that only 1% of these are over 20 weeks, your response, Mr. Kramer?
It's 89 kids.
Okay.
89 kids that have been put to death in a torture chamber. So.
Okay. Senator?
And it's the availability. Why would we want inflicting pain on children to be legal? Why would we want that out there as a societal acceptance? I don't want that.
You mentioned that West Virginia just passed it.
Yes.
How many other states have a similar 20-week prohibition?
So West Virginia, their law goes into effect, I believe, in June.
Okay.
And they would be the 11th state. We'd be the 12th state if we were to pass this.
Do any of our neighbors have it? Do you know?
Midwestern states? I don't think so.
Not right next door, no.
How have the courts, have there been court tests in the other states that have it? and has the law survived?
Well, whenever one has this type of law, one never knows what can happen or which judges you're going to get on a court.
Yes,
you might get judges that are favorable to it, you might not. And all across the country, it's interesting to look at the cases, it's interesting to look at the rulings, and it's interesting to look at the rationale that the judge writing the case will present, and it's all over the board.
Okay. Have some judges struck it down?
Arizona's is enjoined right now.
Arizona's is enjoined.
But keep in mind, Arizona has a lot of other provisions in it that were problematic and probably weighed more on striking it down than this issue.
One provision in your bill, the only exception is for a medical emergency and not some of the other exceptions that are debated, rape, incest, life of the mother. Why are you centering on a medical emergency?
Well, a medical emergency, if a woman has emergency, and I use the example, there's a car accident and a woman goes into labor, premature labor, then what the bill requires in that instance is that the baby be delivered or aborted in the fashion that most determines its survival. So you don't do the painful dismemberment and kill the child. You deliver the baby in a way that most assures its survival.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a car accident, it could be eclampsia, it could be just a whole host of reasons. It's rare, you know, it is pretty rare that would happen. But if there is a premature delivery for some reason, or a woman's, you know, life or bodily functions are threatened, then a physician must deliver the baby in a way to assure its survival.
Okay. Do you have any PS on that?
No, and that's just what was added in here, just so that we ensure that there is not going to be an intentional dismemberment abortion. You know, that because you can't survive that. By the time they're doing abortions at 20 weeks, there's nothing out there that you can survive. So we wanted to make sure that the physician is doing whatever they can in their best reasonable.
Getting ready for the show, somebody expressed to me that medical emergency may vary depending on the treating physician or nurse. Is there going to be an exact standard? Is there already a specific standard of what constitutes a medical emergency?
There is bill language that is very explicit, and it is a medical emergency that the woman's will lose life, mm-hmm. or a major bodily function within the next, I believe it's 24 hours. But there is a clear definition in the bill.
24, okay. So you feel that's a pretty standard that can easily be enforced?
Yes.
I don't think it can be exploited, because it's clearly that a woman goes into labor and the baby's coming, or something is happening along that nature, something as serious as that. It's not something minor or something that can be taken lightly in terms of somehow having a loophole for it to be an elective abortion. No.
Okay.
That window is closed.
Representative Kramer, when I heard you interviewed on Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm really glad you're here, because you used the term perinatal hospice that I'd never heard before. Can you define that and talk about how that might come into, well, first of all, what is it, and how might it come into play in these situations?
Sure. It's something that's brand new. We've never really talked about it in the statutes before. And perinatal hospice is something that we are going to require that we basically, we publicize information on what it is, and we give that, it comes from the state. Perinatal hospice is something that basically, from the time a doctor, a lot of the new medical procedures and tests that are out there, they can determine later on in pregnancy when a child may have possibly a terminal illness, mm-hmm. and may not survive real long.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when some people decide, well, we're going to make the tough decision. We'll do an abortion. Well, what perinatal hospice does is it actually allows the family. It tells them what psychologists are available, what doctors are available, what clergy is available. It's basically hospice in the womb, not hospice in the traditional building style setting. So there are people there that are going to help this family through the whole process, from the remainder of the pregnancy, through caring for the child after the child's born, through the probable, sadly, eventual death of the child, and even postpartum for the mother and the father. So there's psychological help available, doctors available, and we want to make sure that these family members know that this is out there and this is an option. So it's something that can help the family through the entire process.
Do any other states have this, sir?
I am not sure, actually. I'll have to research that.
Does your bill mandate? Oh, excuse me.
Well, I know that this perinatal hospice is something that exists and is very real because an organization that I belong to, a New Berlin Lioness charitable organization, one of the functions is that the ladies knit the very small, tiny, tiny garments for babies that are born too early to survive so that there is the availability of burial clothing. And so they make very, very tiny, tiny clothing. So I know that that exists out there. I know there's a sentiment for it, and I know there's a movement in people that are participatory in it.
Does your bill mandate that health insurers have to cover the costs of perinatal hospice?
There's no specific language in here about insurance companies in particular, but the basically what it does is we're mandating that the state's going to have to provide that information, what is available out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's about information, that it exists and that it's available to the families.
We just addressed the public, because there are specific publications that have to come out from the state, we just addressed that end of it. So it doesn't, we haven't talked to the insurance.
Has the medical society taken a position on your bill?
No. I haven't.
Best of your knowledge?
No.
Okay. When I interviewed Congressman Duffy at the Republican State Convention last weekend, he noted that he'd just vote for, I may have the term wrong, but I'll try, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act in the U.S. House. Is that also, would that be a national prohibition of abortions at 20 weeks?
It's certainly the same term, the term that you just used. That's the one of the terms. I kind of size it down to Pain Prevention Act is what it means to me, I think, in the sense. But I know that Washington is working on something and that obviously if Sean Duffy mentioned that, that must be what it is.
And do you not expect them to be able to pass a bill in Congress? Is that the reason you're going ahead with your proposed Wisconsin statute?
I couldn't say exactly what their bill is or what their progress is.
I know their bill is a lot more complex than ours, and ours is very simple and straightforward. And we definitely want something on our books in case that ever goes away at the federal level. So we want to make sure we have something on our books, too.
The penalty provision, I want to ask you about that. A fine of up to $10,000 and or up to 3 years and 6 months in prison. That would make someone who violates this law a convicted felon, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And also, a father, unless the pregnancy results from sex assault or incest, could sue for damages anyone who performed an abortion after 20 weeks. Why do you think that should be a key proponent of the bill, Senator?
Well, I think we don't want any incentive here, and we certainly want disincentives, and these are disincentives from violating the law, you know, which we're putting in place, which is one would not inflict pain on a child. And if someone inflicts that pain intentionally on a child, obviously we need violations, or we need penalties.
Okay. Let's talk about your bill. It was just sponsored today. How many co-sponsors, Senate? How many in the Assembly? What are the numbers? Do you know, Senator?
We're looking at, I think, roughly 10, 11 over in the Senate and 20,
25
over in the Assembly.
Okay.
Yes.
And your hopeful timeline? Do you want this debated and on the governor's desk before the budget?
Ma'am? Well, when we have bills, we always want them done yesterday, but it's probably not going to get done yesterday. But we've circulated, we've got the signatures, so we're introducing today as we speak. I believe they're being introduced. So as soon as we can do the logistics of sorting out committee meetings and getting those things done, we will be proceeding.
Do you expect a joint hearing, and then is it the first vote in the Senate, ma'am?
That's possible. That's very possible. That's certainly our plan to try to move this along. But everything's fluid over in the legislature.
Yes, in the budget session.
And the budget is happening.
You mentioned that in West Virginia, Democrats voted for this. Any of your co-sponsors Democrats? Do you expect to get some Democratic votes?
We don't have any co-sponsors that are.
Okay.
But I'm always hopeful.
I can't imagine someone voting against this. To vote against this means it's okay to inflict pain on a child. It's okay to dismember a child. And you're talking 5 months, 5 to 5.5 month baby. So my sense is that, they'll make their arguments, they'll ask questions, they'll do their things, but I can't imagine voting against it. Now, maybe I will be surprised and it will be a party line vote. I certainly hope not. I hope that there's the wherewithal that we want society to be a society that does not inflict pain on humans, let alone babies.
This is a pretty emotional issue. Do you expect to see more emotional debate? We've seen that on a lot of issues lately, but what are you hearing from the opponents? Are they going to do all they can to try to sidetrack it?
I can't say that anyone's become real explosive on this.
No,
maybe I just haven't heard it, but
no,
I haven't.
I haven't either, and I keep bringing up the fact that discussing it is about humane treatment of children, and you know, going back to the fact that it has been bipartisan in other states, and to be honest, I mean, the you've seen there's 89 kids that were killed under this procedure a couple years ago.
2013.
So the majority of the agencies that actually do abortions don't even take them up to this point. I mean, they stop long before this. So I don't see much push back on it.
And have you talked to the governor about it? He told reporters he looks forward to signing it. Have you had a discussion with
my
Governor
understanding
Walker?
Is the governor is comfortable with the bill.
I think he's ready to go.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much. Senate President Mary Lozick, Representative Jesse Kramer, thank you for coming in to talk about a bill that we'll be hearing more of pretty soon.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Very nice.